This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. You're listening to The Kevin Kelly Show, exclusively here on placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world. And now, here's your host, the voice of Ring of Honor, Mr. Kevin Kelly.
When you're on a holiday, you can't find the words to say.
Well, it's 2015. No better time than now to launch the first Kevin Kelly Show of the new year. Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Kevin Kelly Show here on the Place to Be Nation, the website, placetobenation.com. And we thank you very much for joining us. 2014, a very prosperous year for all of us here at PTBN, and we hope for you as well, and we hope that everybody had a great holiday season. The final episode of 2014 was tremendous as Jim Ross joined us with a special preview of the New Japan show, and he and Matt Stryker did an outstanding job of calling that event, and we want to thank JR for coming on board and having some time with us. We had only said, hey, if you can give us 20 minutes, half an hour, that'd be great, and he was on for an hour. It was fantastic. And I thought it was a great interview. All the archives are available. The placetobenation.com website on the Kevin Kelly Show link. Just click on my ugly face and you'll find your way to all the archives right then and there. Our guest this week is, he wasn't the founder of Ring of Honor, but he certainly was instrumental in its survival. He kept that company on life support for a long time and eventually was able to turn the reins over to Sinclair Broadcast Group. That's Kerry Silken, and Kerry's going to join us. We're going to talk about a lot of different things. Kerry's an awesome guy. I want Kerry to one day write a book, and he's got so many characters and stories from his life that he's known, and we'll mainly focus on wrestling because he has a fan's heart when it comes to professional wrestling. Goes way back as a fan, predates me and my fandom. But Kerry and I always share a lot of thoughts on Twitter. His Twitter handle is at ROH Kerry, C-A-R-Y, if you want to give him a follow. And we'll talk to Kerry in a few minutes. We've got a big, big show here tonight with our first full show of the new year. We'll play some games. We'll have some fun. We'll talk about all that's happening in the world of professional wrestling. And we'll talk with Kerry in just a little bit. I did want to spend a few minutes here right off the bat talking about the first Ring of Honor television taping of the new year, which was on January 3rd in Nashville. What an amazing crowd was on hand. And it always pleases me, and it never gets old when I look through the curtain and I see all the seats full. That never gets old to me. It didn't get old to me in when I was in the WWE, and it doesn't get old to me now. I think that's what I like the best about professional wrestling, is seeing how what we do translates into ticket sales. That's the part that I'm always the most amazed with and the part that I hang on to the most. So anyway, that was great in Nashville. One of the highlights for me was getting to meet Alberto El Patron for the first time. And whether you knew him by Dos Caras Jr. or whether you knew him by Alberto Del Rio, Alberto El Patron is the real deal. And what a gentleman. This guy was awesome, and I have no idea, I have absolutely no idea why the WWE and he decided to no longer contractually coexist. But I can tell you this, that a guy like Alberto El Patron, a guy like him, is going to make every locker room better because he is a gentleman, and he's no trouble at all. So I don't know what happened in the WWE. But all I know is that their loss is professional wrestling's gain, because you'll see Alberto Del Rio make his Ring of Honor debut this coming week on the television show, and then his in-ring debut against Christopher Daniels in 2 weeks. So, you know, let's see what you think, and if you viewed him in a certain way based upon his time in the WWE, maybe you'll see him in a little bit different vein in Ring of Honor. I was amazed at just what a professional he was and how enthusiastic he was for the product. This wasn't just some guy collected a paycheck. This was a guy that was truly taken aback by how well he was received. And you could see, and I think all of us have this ability, whether we want to admit it or not. But we can see through phony people. Some of us are more intuitive than others. My wife, for example, she knows somebody right off the bat, whether they're real or they're full of crap. And I've picked up on some of that. So, but I always have that tendency to look, he's a good guy. He's misunderstood. You know, he could be the, you know, an axe murderer. And I might say, he's a good guy. But over time, I've learned to be a little bit more aware when it comes to a real person and how he or she really is. And I can tell you that Alberto was the real deal. What a class act. What a gentleman. And I look forward to seeing more from Alberto as the weeks and months continue here in Ring of Honor. It's going to be a very busy year for us in ROH, and we're really looking forward to that. We've got a lot of business, though, to do here on the Kevin Kelly Show. It's our first episode of the year. And before we bring our pal Kerry Silkett on, JR, are you there?
I wouldn't say you have an ugly face, Kev.
Well, it's not my best attribute.
You don't know that you're beautiful, and that's what makes you beautiful.
I'm on the inside, I'm beautiful. Yes. Hey, I hope you had a good new year.
I did. Thank you. I've been pretty much sick since the new year, though, as many of our fans know, sinus infection city with your boy over here. So once again, battling that, but I'm on the mend.
Well, we'll talk, we'll talk good things with PC. We'll get into that. Mm-hmm. We'll probably do a little recap on all the doings in college football. We'll get some thoughts on the NFL and where we are there. It's a panoply here, a full menu tonight on the Kevin Kelly Show. But right now, before we bring Kerry Silkett on, let's find out where everybody can listen to the Kevin Kelly Show each and every week.
You can visit PlaceToBeNation.com, click on the beautiful Kevin Kelly Show banner or the PTBN podcast banner on the right-hand side. You can also subscribe to the Place to Be podcast feed on iTunes or visit Stitcher.com, subscribe to the Place to Be podcast, or download the Place to Be Nation podcast app by hitting up placetobe.podbean.com/mobile on your iPhone or iPad. Also, you can now find a special ROH edition of the show exclusively at ROHWrestling.com. Follow us on Twitter at @place2bnation and at @realkevinkelly. Like us on Facebook at facebook.com/placetobenation as well. And if you have any questions or suggestions for us, email us at kevinkellyshow@placetobenation.com.
All right, we're back on the Kevin Kelly Show, and it is time for our first guest of 2015. And he's somebody that we've wanted to have on the show for a while, and we thought this would be the perfect way to kick off the new year. Because he's just going to, he provides so much, trust me, it's going to be great. He wasn't the founder of Ring of Honor, but he certainly kept it going for a long, long time. And, he's a great friend of mine, and I look forward to talking with him whenever I can. It's Kerry Silkett. Kerry, welcome to the Kevin Kelly Show. Happy New Year, my friend.
Happy New Year to you, Kevin. And thank you for having me on.
I'll tell you what, it is, it's been great because getting to know you as I have for the last, over 4 years now, I've enjoyed every time that we get a chance to talk. And the thing that I like the best about it is that I learn a lot from you. And I know Steve Corino says the same thing all the time, and we talk about this all the time, is like, everything that whenever we get the chance to talk to you, we learn so much from that. And thank you very much for that, for what you meant to us.
Well, you're welcome. And likewise, you're being very generous, but I think a lot of it comes from the mistakes that I've made, along the way. It's, if I could have done it, and that's what gave me a lot of insight, if nothing else, I know what not to do at this point. Unfortunately, it comes late after, but that's all right. We take our path, and I don't care who you are or what profession you're in, or what your life path is. That's pretty much par for the course.
Well, I know we're going to talk a lot about Ring of Honor, and we'll talk about some other things. I want to get some casino tips. I want to know some hot shows to go see. I got a lot of ground to cover with you, but where did the journey begin for you with wrestling? And not just it, I know one day you didn't just, come out of the earth and say, I'm going to save Ring of Honor. It had to begin. I know it began with you as a fan. How did the whole journey of fandom get underway for you?
Well, it's been a literal lifelong love affair with wrestling, which was introduced to me by my cousin Mike, who worked for Ring of Honor also as a side note as a publicist for quite a few years.
And Mike G.
I got to get him to come back to the show and ring the bell. He used to be the bell ringer. But besides doing the publicity, but anyway, he turned me on to wrestling, which was, you know, I'm from North Jersey. So wrestling was on WWF 2 hours on Saturday nights at, channel five, from Washington, D.C., you know, with Ray Morgan. And, I fell in love with it, you know, and, I had a hard time, you know, my mom, my parents, you know, my father was a working class guy, loves sports, but yeah, you know, you watch, he goes, why are you watching that crap? And my mom, you know, she wasn't a highbrow, but you know, she didn't like it. Be that as it may, I kept my love affair with wrestling, and I immediately dove into it. And her outlet besides the TV were the magazines. So I would buy the magazines, and I mean, we could talk for an hour if I just keep going. But I wanted to go see a live show so bad. And you're probably familiar with this, but to go to Madison's, New York had these blue laws that you had to be 14 to go to Madison Square Garden,
right,
and to see boxing or wrestling. But they didn't enforce it at Sunnyside Gardens. And I had an uncle who knew the promoter, this guy Manny Hecklin. And January 1st, New Year's Day, 1967, I got to see my first, you know, live pro show. And I kept with it. And there's a little known fact that just like Paul Heyman, Jim Cornette, and a number of other people, I had a very brief career with a cheap Kodak camera, taking pictures at some shows and trying to put an ad in the night. We didn't pay for it. It was in the fan club section, and selling some photos. You could find my name. You know, I think I'm listed in like 3 or 4 issues. I gave up on it quickly, but I continued this love affair with wrestling when it was totally uncool to be a wrestling fan through high school and into my years after that. And I would attend the Garden. You know, my cousin Mike would, you know, once I was old enough, we would go to the Garden, you know, once a month on Mondays. And I just continued straight on through, you know, and nobody, you know, you had to find, you could relate, everybody listening could relate to this. You had to find that one friend or one or two oddball friends that liked it. But I just continued on, and through the good years, through the bad years, there were times when I was on the road, and I was like, you know, I was in Louisville. I was working for a band, and I went to the Louisville Gardens. And then I lived in New Orleans for a little while in the 80s, and I saw Mid-South. It was like, wow, you know. And, just completely through the era. And, you know, when ECW came around, I was a little bored with wrestling, and that revived me. And that rolled into, my cousin Mike was is a writer, and at the time he worked for a company called Sterling McFadden that published like 40 magazines. They're probably out of business now because the magazine business is down to nothing. But I had this brilliant idea to do a wrestling magazine in Puerto Rico. Why would I do that? We used to go to Puerto Rico for vacation, and Mike was the editor. They needed an editor. He did music. But they needed an editor for Wrestling World. So Mike took it over to make a few extra bucks. So when we went to Puerto Rico, like in 99, we got hooked up with Victor Quiñones, and we went to a show, And, you know, it really brought me back to the, you know, like, wow, this is like how it was in like the early 70s. And I said to my cousin, why don't we do a wrestling magazine? He's like, what are you, nuts? He goes, you're talking about editing. You're talking about a different language. You're talking. I go, does your company sell magazines in Puerto Rico? He says, yeah. I said, well, let's talk to the distributor. So that was like, you know, my first real foray. We actually published 4 issues. I don't know if you've ever seen them, but I'll have to bring them to you. And that was like in 2000, 2001. You know, they were supposed to be quarterly, but we barely got out like one a year. And I knew some of the gentlemen associated with, you know, that started Ring of Honor. You know, I knew Gabe and from ECW and some of the other guys. And I went to them in the beginning, like, you know, do you need any help? And they didn't really need any help, but quickly they needed help. And, you know, the help they needed was financial. And circumstances occurred that we don't have to talk about that right. Wound with me winding up having ownership of the company, which was something I really wasn't interested in. I sort of wanted to be a silent partner, but that's, you know, how it happened. And although the next 8 years was a rough, you know, just like anyone who's in this business, it's got the highest highs and the lowest lows. And but yet Ring of Honor, you know, survived and prospered, and without, you know, I hate using these expressions, putting myself over. It was a synergy, and it, you know, there was a few points where, you know, financially it was foolish to stay. It was really foolish financially, but, you know, pride, ego, so on and so forth. And I knew we had something. I knew we had something the whole time. And, luckily between Gary Juster and Jim we had the Sinclair link, and here we are today. So that was a real quick history.
Well, that's amazing, and I always wanted my dad to take me, because I grew up in Woodside. I always wanted my dad to take me to Sunnyside Gardens, and for whatever reason, we never could. And then before too long, I had moved to Florida, and I was begging him to take me to shows at West Palm Beach Auditorium, which he did. So we have some intersecting roots there as well. When you talk about Ring of Honor, and I know that everybody says, oh, you know, Kerry kind of kept it afloat. Was there a time, Kerry, do you remember like a date when you said, this is it, we're going to go out of business? Did it ever get to that point?
There was about 7 of them. there was a number of them. I mean, it's funny what people's perception is and reality, you know, perception by the outside and what's really happening on the inside is, you know, it was, you know, as critically acclaimed, and even though, you know, we got to go to England twice, and DVDs were hot at the time, and we did the taped pay-per-views that did very well, considering, and so on and so forth, you know, the company never made any money. And a lot of it, you know, I was told years ago by a guy, absentee ownership is the downfall of any business. And, you know, my primary business is, you know, as a ticket broker. So I'm not blaming the management or the people I had working at Ring of Honor, but I couldn't do both. And even if I could have done both or had been it was just rough to make the bottom line, to not lose money. And anyone who's been involved in the business end of wrestling, except that man that lives in Connecticut, knows that. So yes, there were a number of times, but like I said, pride and ego, and I didn't want to let go. And now in the end, here was my watermark. I'm not going to lose my ticket business to keep the wrestling open. And that was, I never came in danger of that. But anyway, we stayed alive. There was a lot of errors. People say, the early era was the best, or, the era the 2006 and 7 era, or then the Nigel era, or, Tyler and Aries and this and that. And to me, they were different, but they were all good eras. I don't think there was ever a bad era of Ring of Honor. This could be argued. It's because people always cared, and everybody, and I'll say this to this day, and this is with the current Ring of Honor, everybody involved in the company, whether it's the guys who set up, the students, to the wrestlers, you, Steve and Nigel, Bobby Cruz, the referees, we got the best ref in the world with Todd. Everybody cares and our man behind the scenes, Delirious. Everyone cares so much, it's always been that way. And I think that's one of the reasons I didn't close.
I know that it was that labor of love for you, and certainly that enthusiasm whenever, the music hits and Kerry Silken is the first person generally out through the curtain, kind of leading the cheers of the crowd, because that enthusiasm that you have as a fan, going back to when you're a kid, comes through every time I see you at every Ring of Honor event. It's never, oh, just another show. It's tonight is going to be special. Tonight is going to be great. I can't believe how great this was. What'd you think of the first half? These freaking matches are amazing. That enthusiasm with you, Kerry, it never wanes.
Well, like I said, it's a synergy, and it's, it's like 1 + 1 = 3, and everybody involved. I mean, you've been around Ring of Honor now for, I think it's more than 4 years.
Yeah, I think it's closer to 5. I'd lost track.
But
one of your many mistakes, by the way, was bringing me on board. A bad business deal, I can tell you that right there.
No, but there's no throwaway shows. We've never done a show.
Right.
Sure. When you're in New York City or you're doing, a live pay-per-view, whether it was back then or currently, it's a special show, but you're doing for lack of a better way to put it, a house show in Dayton. I know damn well nobody's looking at it like it's a night off, and you do too. And it's like the whole staff, has always felt that way. And, there's been a few shows that weren't that great, but, of course that's the way it is. But, that's been I just think that's been, Ring of Honor's trademark. When the company was nice enough to, give me that Lifetime Achievement Award at the final battle, which was really sweet. And, and as an announcer, you probably get this feeling like, oh, I should have said this or that in that match, right? Or all the time. It's like,
why
it's
did
like,
I say that?
Right, like announcer's remorse.
Yes,
and I'm not used to speaking in the ring, and after I was done with my little speech, what I wanted to say that I didn't was, the reason tonight's show, the reason this is going to be the best final battle you've ever seen is look around, because the guys were all nice enough to come out to the ring. I go, look around. I mean this. We have the best ring announcer in pro wrestling.
Right.
We have some of the best referees and the best referee in pro wrestling. We have the best announcing, and I mean, we have the best announcing crew in pro wrestling. And look at this crew of wrestlers, and hardcore or various people can say, oh, well, what are you talking about? When there was Samoa Joe and everybody, but you know what? It's an incredible crew. And the crew right now, although it's totally different, it's still phenomenal. And it's really, really special. And I still love being a part of it. And I always will.
And we'll see you in Philly, of course, right on the 24th.
Yes.
You wouldn't miss that for the world. In fact, first place I met Kerry was there at the former ECW arena, and we'll be there on Saturday the 24th for a national television taping. It's a huge night. We talked about it earlier on, and you can go to ROHwrestling.com for all the tickets and information. Because we cover a lot of things. We talk about the whole world of professional wrestling, and I know we're going to talk a lot about WWE and the Royal Rumble. And there are two guys that I wanted to get your thoughts on, because I know that and so many great champions, so many great athletes you've had the pleasure of seeing in Ring of Honor. But two that really stand out as far as I wanted to get your thoughts on is Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins. And because when we knew them as Bryan and Tyler, former Ring of Honor champions, so different guys, but again, the way they are and the way they're presented now and being able to see them in the spotlight, we're beyond CM Punk as he's done with wrestling now. And Samoa Joe is getting closer to the end. Daniel Bryan and Seth Rollins are doing in WWE, how does that make you feel as someone who really kind of helped, your company helped put them on the map?
It's phenomenal. Not to mention Claudio. It's sometimes it's surreal. Bryan Danielson, I can't call him Ding. I just can't, if anyone deserved it, he did, I mentioned this sometimes at the seminars, that very few, he used to sit and watch every match. He'd sit by where the entranceway was, and he would, when the match started, he would just peek through the curtain there, and he would watch every match. And he didn't take 4 hours to go over a match and 4 hours afterwards, I see happening too often. And, he was a student of the game. And I think that that's an important part, and you saw it more since you've been around. And I think that that's an aspect that the current crew needs to focus on a little more. And as far as Tyler, he was my buddy, I'll never forget the night where he was getting an offer from TNA, and the WWE thing wasn't sure yet. And he called me up, and I'm like, don't do it. Wait. Thank God, he's such a nice kid, not a kid anymore. And it's so wonderful to see him, when WrestleMania was in New York, him and his parents met me and we went out for dinner, and these guys are busy, and it's really, really nice. And it's nice to see Red Dragon, going to New Japan, and there's many other examples that I can, you know, that I'm not coming off the top of my head. But, you know, as far as these guys that have become big stars, God bless them, you know. And if I had a little something to do with it to keep it, you know, I'm happy, and I'm happy for them.
Well, something that, you know, again, a great kind of a barometer of I think, any entertainment business's health is ticket sales. And you being a ticket broker, how is WWE business, how is it performing now? And is that a true barometer of kind of the health of the company? What are they doing in the marketplace? Is there still a buzz about them? I know the Garden sold out for Christmas week, but what's your gut tell you from, you know, from somebody who works, you know, hand in hand with them as far as ticket sales?
It has to be a special event. As far as, you know, this rolls into the general mindset of the public these days. You know, Royal Rumble in Philly, or you know, them doing New York City at Christmas time. But as far as these other house shows, and I used to buy tickets, you know, and even a Monday Night Raw, it's not the same, and I don't think it's because WWE is flat, or you know, it just has to do with that people's attention has been divided so drastically. All people do is look at screens. I was listening to an interview with Larry King that was being interviewed by Jesse Ventura on one of his podcasts. And, you know, Larry King's like 80 years old and Jesse's not a youngster, but, you know, they were talking about society and, you know, what do you think the future is? And it's like, it's not good. I'm getting off track here, but you know, to get back on track is that, you know, there's so many options for people to do without spending money. So, and I see that with concerts, I see that with Broadway shows, things have to be hot or people would rather just sit home. You know, there was the old Bruce Springsteen song, 57 channels and nothing on. Well, now there's 557.
Yeah.
And, so it's hard. It's hard to, you really have to have, whether it's wrestling, whether it's theater, music, whatever it is, it has to be something very compelling. There's so much competition, and I think that the attention span of the younger generation is, it's not from where we came from.
Yeah, it was, I know it was a big thing to go to concerts, and I can remember, you know, going to concerts once a month. I can remember going to wrestling shows every week.
Right.
I can remember going to the movies at least every other week. Now,
right.
If I do any of those things a couple of times a year, that's really doing something. So, It is a changing world. Absolutely. You know, I know that, and you say you were starting to get off track, but Carrie, that's where your, the real intelligence comes through. Like I learned something here about, you know, that interview with Larry King being interviewed by Jesse Ventura. I want to seek that out now because that just sounds like a great pairing, you know, two complete gimmicks sitting there talking to one another. It sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. I see it every day. You know, the 20 and 30 somethings, in all due respect to that generation, it's just not the same. I mean, I'm older than you, but if we were going to go see, Led Zeppelin or the Allman Brothers or whoever, Elton John, we didn't know what the hell they looked like except for the album cover or a magazine.
Right.
Right. And maybe there was like one or two TV shows. Like there was a show called Don Kirshner's Rock Concert.
Used to stay up late to watch that, right?
Right. And like, you know, you had no clue what the set list was. You had no clue about any effects or wow. And, the Rolling Stones play a Honky Tonk Woman. There's these two balloons, you know, whatever it is. And now there's no magic. It's instant gratification, pretty much with everything. Is it going to get better? I doubt it. But in the meantime, here's the good side of it. Or if people want to go see something and they want to come to Ring of Honor. Now, from what I understand, the Philadelphia Ring of Honor show is almost sold out.
Yep.
And, you know, okay, Royal Rumble's in town, blah, 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 whatever. If the people didn't give a shit, they don't care. They want to come. So if you have a product, whether it's a sponge or it's a movie, or it's a particular kind of shoe, and they want it, they're going to buy it. And they're going to want to come see it, and they're going to want to pay money. There's a big difference between seeing something for free, and TNA is a great example. I think they have some great wrestling, and they have some good talent. They definitely have some good talent, but getting people to pay money to come, it's very different. There's a huge, and I'm not looking to knock TNA, but there's the example, you know, and even WWE, they're giving the people, with this network, even without the network, between Raw and SmackDown and these other shows that I know they have another couple shows, to get them to come out. It used to be special. Now, in New York, Philly, Boston, Pittsburgh, just talking to the Northeast, Washington, probably even out by Harrisburg, they would do shows at least once a month.
Right.
And now they'll come to a town, you know, what, maybe twice a year, maybe?
At the most.
Right. And that's telling right there. But, you know, that's the way it is.
Well, but I look at, you know, two sides too. And minor league baseball finds a way to flourish. Attendance up every single year. And it's certainly not about the quality of baseball or the players, because most of the time you don't know them. They're kids. They're on their way up, down, or out. But they find ways to fill the parks 82 games a year. In the NFL, with DirecTV, I get every single game in my house in full HD, and I have a 65-inch television, and I don't want to leave my couch. But if I wanted to go to an NFL game, I would go, and the stadiums are full every week, and they don't exactly give those tickets away. So, there are examples. Does it really come down to? Does it come down to a kind of a combination of promotion? Does old-fashioned promoting still work?
I think it does. And I feel that, the current Ring of Honor, would be better served with some extra, like, I don't want to say anything bad, that the product, but I'm hoping that, you know, the Sinclair Corporation decides to put a little bit more money into the budget, so that there's more, if the show's on in 80 cities, people still have to know it's there. And, I think that's absolutely the key, I didn't mean to knock Sinclair, but, I think the benefits, would be massive. And, yes, you're absolutely right. that show that was just on, the one from Japan, Global Force or whatever it was called, you know, that's
the New Japan pay-per-view, right?
Right. I was reading somewhere that although it was on cable, and I did watch it here on my very own RCN cable, there was no advertising at all. You know,
right.
So it's you know, you and I have had this discussion.
Yes.
These people, you know, it's like, what about those people that, you know, fill the arenas for WWE? You know, they didn't know it was there. I know damn well that we know damn well they didn't know it. And if they knew that it was there, would they have watched it? Well, some of them would have, you know, same with ROH, you know, this is going to be a good year for Ring of Honor from what I could see. And, you know, talking with Joe Koff and just being around as long as I have, you know, there was a big, you know, I'd be lying. You know, there was a getting your feet wet, learning curve, whatever. But that's to be expected. But I think the company's really coming into a groove. And I'm not just talking about the wrestling. I'm just talking about in general, you know, with the
right.
pay-per-views, with the new markets, the new cities. And, you know, I want to see this thing, you know, is anyone going to be competing with the guy in Connecticut? Well, you know, that's unlikely. But I really feel that if people are exposed to Ring of Honor, and you're a little bit of a wrestling fan, if you're not just a kid who wants to see John Cena, you're going to like it. That was always my battle cry. You know, if you pay $20 or $25 for a general admission ROH ticket, you are not, you're going to get your money's more of your money's worth in 30 minutes than you might get to one of these other big company shows for the whole night. And that holds true today.
I agree with that. No doubt about it. Kerry, was it hard for you to step away from, to let go of, to sell Ring of Honor?
Yeah, of course. Of course. It was a relief. And, you know, at the same time, you know, another old expression, I don't know how old it is, but, you know, and you've heard me say it, you can't save your face and your ass at the same time, you know, and I have saved my ass. And, you know, the behind the scenes people, including you, including Joe Koff, and including Delirious, you know, if I make a suggestion or I say, hey, what about this or that? I don't, you know, I let pretty much let things go, but because things are running pretty well. But they listen and take suggestions often. And, you know, you always want to be the man. You always want. But, you know, hey, that's all right. That's all right. I still am able to go to the shows, and it's like watching a grandkid or you know, your son moving on or that kind of thing. And you know, it's I'm happy that we're around. We're all around, and I'm happy that it's a product to be proud of, and that's the damn truth.
Yeah, I think that's the one consistent factor in all the different eras is that there has been a source of pride with Ring of Honor, and that exudes through you, through everybody, and you've been a big part of that. So let's talk real quick, because you know, you are the biggest music aficionado that I know, and you are, I think, the biggest Jethro Tull fan that there is.
Maybe
you
that.
Are the super fan. When is the next Tull show that you're attending, and how many have you seen?
Oh, it's an embarrassing amount of Tull shows. I'm a classic rock. You know, look, I graduated high school in '74. It was a golden era. Zeppelin, Paul, Pink Floyd, The Grateful Dead, you know, so on and so forth. And, you know, I've seen 100 Jethro Tull shows. They just finished, you know, they just finished a tour recently. Ian Anderson, you know, I'm 58. Ian Anderson's 68. And it's like I look at him and I'm like, you know, he's still, it's not like it's 1972, but, you know, the man still can move and he's just, you know, whatever. So I'm expecting to see him this year. But I'm in general, you know, I like going, I've always liked live entertainment. And you know, Tull's one of my favorite acts, you know. You know, all those bands from that era. And I hate to discount, you know, some new music. And there's a few new bands that people have turned me on to. But, you know, as far as going to see live acts, I've been fortunate that the McCartneys and the Billy Joels and the Elton Johns and the Yeses and the Allman Brothers and so on and so forth, you know, that most of the members and a lot of the members, you know, are still with us. And, you know, we've lost a lot of guys recently, you know, like a guy my age, you know, with Joe Cocker dying recently. And it's like, geez, you know, it's like, you know, and it's Levon Helm from the band died last year. I used to love the band. And there's a laundry list. But that's the way it is, you know. And enjoying it as much. I'm still enjoying it as much as I did, you know, when I was a kid, or trying to get out and there's nothing better than, you know, and for the listeners and some of the young, you know, we get a lot of 20 somethings, 30 something, you know, at ROH, you know, you should support live entertainment. You know, it beats the hell out of YouTube. You know, there's nothing like that moment when the lights go down. I don't give a damn if it's Donnie and Marie, you know, and it's just, you're just something special. And with that in mind, you know, if you haven't seen Ring of Honor live, and, you know, and it's funny, I talk to people, you know, or someone will on Facebook or Twitter will say, "Oh, hi, sir." Facebook, more or less. Thank you for, you know, the show. And I said, "Well, where do you live?" And there's people that, you know, have not, a lot of fans that still haven't ever gone to a live show.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're listening to this and you love Ring of Honor and you watch TV show, or you watch the VODs or buy DVDs, if anyone still does, you got to come see it live. It's just, you know, it's still a magical experience, and it is the best pro wrestling in the world, as far as I'm concerned. You know, because we believe in it, and we believe in pro wrestling, and we've never taken the attitude of, you know, insulting anyone's intelligence, you know. And that's because everyone along the years has had that mentality, and that's why I'm really happy that we have you, you know, calling these shows. I mean, I listened, you know, to some of the other commentaries of these big companies, and you know, they're told, you know, they're whatever, you know, they don't have the liberty to call what they see, like you and Steve or you and Nigel do, and, you know, it's such a huge difference. So I just hope that, you know, more people start watching Ring of Honor and, you know, get exposed to it, and if not, you know, they're missing out. And there's a lot of people that are dying to see this product that don't know about it.
Yeah, and it, you know, again, the wrestling business has always had its ups and downs. Ring of Honor has not been immune to that. 2014, and we had talked about this here on the podcast. Delirious and I were doing some kind of quickie math, and we had said that there was not an event in 2014 that we had run previous. You know, so we had been to the town before. There was not an event that we had run in 2014 to where the attendance had not increased event over event. So even like, you know, Chicago, which had waned a little bit, we had beaten it up a little bit with too much TV, popped back up in 2014. Toronto, the houses were up. New York, houses were up. Even San Antonio and some of the newer towns, houses were up. Nashville was up and was up again last Saturday over what we had done in June. So everything seems to be trending in the right way, even in a, you know, a competitive market in a short attention span era. There's still people that are seeking out Ring of Honor. We just need more of them.
Right. And we're going to get more of them.
Right.
And this is going to be you know, it's a cornball pitch, but you know, this is going to be Ring of Honor's this is going to be the best year for Ring of Honor. And you know, it's like you've been in the business way longer, you know, steady, you know, as far as, you know, full time than I have. And there have been so many shows that you've been at way prior to your Ring of Honor days, a real great WWF show. We're like, wow, how are we going to top that? And somehow you do.
Yep.
And, you know, there's been so many nights that just in the 4 or 5 years being with you where the show ended and we're all, you know, we're all backstage, like, you know, freaking out because how good was that? And it's like, at the same time, what are we going to do next? But you know what? It always seems to happen. You know, Final Battle was a great example of that. I wasn't at the tapings in Nashville, but you know, as far as a big show, Final Battle, you know, it just came through, and practically every show that Ring of Honor does come through. So, I urge any listener, if you've taken a Ring of Honor live break, please come back. I did a podcast with a guy, doesn't get your kind of numbers before Final Battle. And I said, so if anybody buys the pay-per-view and they don't like it, my email, you know, I give them my email and I said, I'll give you your money back. Well, no one asked for their money back. So.
Right. No one ever does, and that's a safe bet. But that's some fun to have. The I think we're entering a real golden age too. We've got some real special champions right now. When you look at Jay Briscoe as a world champion and Jay Lethal as the television champion, Red Dragon as the tag team champions. Those belts mean so much, and the champions wear them with such pride. That's one of my biggest. That was the thing that I remember. I was talking with Aries when I first started, and I told him, I said, you realize that now as the world champion that you're the best wrestler in the world. And he was like, well, I'm not. And I said, no, you are, because of the lineage of the title and what that title means, that therefore by you holding it, you're now the best wrestler in the world. I'm going to say that in commentary. And he was like, well, all right, then I tend to believe you for that. But it really is. It's a source of pride for the guys that wear these titles.
Absolutely.
Did that? And now that wasn't something that was handed down from above. That was just something that was fostered generation by generation from Samoa Joe and CM Punk and Danielson and Nigel,
right,
and on and on and on.
And as you know, the other companies, not always, but there's been so many times where the titles are changing like we would change our socks, and you don't even know who the champion is. And you know, Colonial School or Colonial Old or whatever. But you know, there's you know, going back to fair, I'll at least put into semi-modern times, you know, like Hulk Hogan holding the belt for quite a number of years, or Bob Backlund, or Harley Race, or, you know, whatever, you know, as opposed to, you know, where the belts would just change hands and they didn't mean anything. And, you know, Samoa Joe's title run back then was a very important at that time, you know. Ooh, he's held the belt for a year. Like, nobody held any belts for a year in that era, you know. So and our current crew, it's a wealth of talent. You mentioned Jay Lethal. At the risk of insulting anyone else, I think he's one of the best. I think he might be one of the best wrestlers in the world. No doubt about it. You know, he's just so good in the ring. Every match, doesn't matter who he wrestles. You know, the old expression, you know, he'd have a good match with a broomstick. And, you know, Jay Briscoe, you know, the Briscoes with Kyle and Bobby and, you know, Michael Elgin and Tommaso and so on and so forth. You know, and having AJ Styles around and having the Bucks around, it's just, you know, it's great. And there's going to be some good things going on this year, so I'm not going to mention anything that hasn't been announced. I'm not sure what's been announced and what hasn't, but I know there's going to be some very special things happening this year. And you know, it's great, you know, because it is a completely different crew from, let's say, when you first walked in the back.
Right.
Yes, the Briscoes are there, you know, and although Adam Cole's injured right now, you know, to see him come in from day one, literally, you know, it's just wonderful, you know, so let's just keep doing this, Kevin.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. Now, I got to know the secret. When you go to the casino, Kerry, what... Now, for those of you that don't know Kerry, and I've never been to the casino, I try to stay away from those places. It's too tempting for me. Kerry has an affinity for rolling the dice. And the stories that I have heard about you at the craps tables, my friend, I mean, they're legendary. What is it about rolling those bones that just, it's so special to you? What is it? What's your favorite part of that?
Well, there's other Ring of Honor members that share in this joy, namely Todd Sinclair and Jimmy Jacobs. But there's I am not a degenerate gambler fan, but I do like to play craps. Like I could look at a roulette table and someone could say to me, "Hey, well, I guess it's only gave me free money at play, but you know, if someone said to me, "Hey, you got $500, I'll match it. Let's go play roulette." You know, so in other words, I have a free $500. I'd rather take the $500 and play dice. Why is that? Not because I'm good at it or I win a lot, you know, but there's two things about, I can't believe we're talking about this. There's two things about craps that's different than any game at the casino. And one of them is that it's the only game where the player, although it means nothing, you get to throw the dice. No one gets to spin the roulette ball. No one gets to touch the cards. All right, poker, that's different. So there's that aspect of it. But the other thing is in most craps games, although you can bet against the player, 95% of the people around the table, even more, play with the player. So there's this camaraderie, there's this, you know, the old expression, honor roll. So when someone does good, everyone's happy. When someone craps out, literally, you know, sometimes I'll be with Todd and we're looking at the other people. Right, like we would be on these road trips going from Dayton to Chicago. We'd stop at these casinos, those ones that are in like Hammond, Indiana, you know, and to look at the faces, it was almost worth seeing a bad throw just to look at the other, just to look at the faces. But there's a camaraderie in the game. There's an excitement. And a guy told me years ago when I was first learning the game, and she was a hot item at the time. She might not be a hot item now. He says, let me tell you about craps, son. I go, what? He goes, if a guy was on a good roll and Britney Spears jumped on the table naked and said, come on, guys, here I am, you'd say, get off the table, the guy's shooting. So that's why craps is fun.
Now, I've also heard that there's quite a bit of banter going on, because it's not just, you know, you quietly place a bet and somebody right. quietly rolls the dice. It's all the talking, too. And I heard there's quite a bit of chatter coming from Kerry Silken when you're rolling or other people are rolling. You're giving out nicknames. It's an event.
Yeah,
it's more than just the game.
It's fun. It's fun. You know, you'd love to have a big roll of money to be able to stand there all night, but that's not it. But when you do play, like Todd and I like to play, and there's just, you know, if you enjoy the game and you have a little money that you can afford to lose, because that's what gambling, you know, you can't go into it. You can't go into a track or a casino or play lottery with the rent money. There's nothing like it. And just that whole, kidding around thing. I could tell you some funny stories.
We're gonna have to book that for another time, because I got to get into more. I got to know more. I want to know about some of the characters you've met throughout your years of as a ticket broker. I want to know all these stories. But we're kind of up against the clock here, Kerry. But okay. I think we got the year off to a tremendous start here on the Kevin Kelly Show, and you're a big part of it. And again, I just want to say thank you again for giving me the opportunity. I've said this to you personally before. Thank you for giving me the opportunity to announce pro wrestling for Ring of Honor. And it's been the best time of my personal life, my professional career. And you have been a big part of that. And I thank you for that. And I thank you for your friendship.
Well, likewise, you're welcome. And what do we got? 2015. Let's rock for 2015. And I will see you in Philadelphia.
All right.
And
that sounds great.
Listening, come join us.
There you go. That's Kerry Silken, everybody. And he'll be in Philly along with everybody from Ring of Honor on Saturday, January 24th. We invite you there. Go to ROHWrestling.com for all the tickets and information. Get them now if you haven't, because we're just about sold out. But Kerry, thank you so much. And we'll talk to you again soon.
You're welcome. Good night. Thank you.
Hey, this is Bauer from The Bauer Show, sports and more. You can check out The Bauer Show podcast every Wednesday and Friday right here at placetobenation.com.
The Bauer Show.
Chad, do you hate it when commercials run and run?
What do you mean, Parv?
Oh, never mind.
Listen to Where the Big Boys Play on placetobenation.com and find us on iTunes. We are the only WCW Supercard exclusive podcast.
Greetings, friends. Ben Morse from Place to Be Nation's Main Event here. Tired of other podcasts constantly stuck in the past? Every other week, we give you a roundtable discussion of what's happening in wrestling today. Place to Be Nation's Main Event. We're holding everybody else down.
Okay, we're back. Kevin Kelly Show continues here on the Place to Be Nation. And there's so much good stuff that is going on right now. First, thanks again to Kerry Silken. Always a pleasure to talk to him. Every time I'm around him, it's always great. And again, I hope you all enjoyed the interview. We'll be lining up some more guests here in the near future. I got to try to figure out a way to get the Young Bucks on.
Yeah.
You know, again, those two-man interviews are always a little bit tricky, just because, you know, it's hard to get two people, you know,
maybe
sometimes
pass
tough
out
to
the
get
phone.
One.
You know, maybe we do 15 minutes with a buck, and then the second buck can join us for another 15.
$2?
$2 for the price of one, something
for
like
the
that.
Price of one. That sounds good. Hey, can you nudge your microphone away from your face a little bit?
How's that? Is that better?
Yeah.
It may be the Soul Republic headphones I'm listening on.
I think
now.
It is because my levels look okay.
Wow. I mean, these things are booming.
Dan, is that sound all right on your end? So you can
yeah, it's fine. I'm playing with the gain. I'm doing all these different things. But these Soul Republic headsets, the bass in them is intense, but they're really great. Santa Claus brought them for my son for Christmas, you know. So anyway, but hey, so if you're a wrestling fan,
yeah,
I think this is the best time of year.
Yeah.
It's the beginning of the best time of year. The ramp to the Royal Rumble. And then the road to WrestleMania.
Mm-hmm.
It just is. It's just always great. And again, not just in WWE, but across kind of the professional wrestling universe, this is a great time.
Yep.
Because this is when a lot of places, especially a little further south, are starting to come out of winter as we get into, the end of February and March. So this, you know, it's the hint of spring. Spring up north, spring's right around the corner. Usually, the first week of April, that's WrestleMania. Okay, great. Now we're off to the races, and before we know it, it's summer. I just love this time. I love the ramp to the Royal Rumble. It's always been my favorite event. It was my favorite event when I worked for the company, and I'm looking forward to this year as well. What are your thoughts of the Rumble, JR? What do you think about it? Do you like it? Do you hate it?
Oh, I love
it.
Where
do you feel?
I mean, I think everyone loves the Rumble, whether or not you hate the current direction of WWE or the product, which many do. I've seen people say that this year they're not really feeling it, but I still feel like that weekend or that day, a lot of people are going to cave and end up watching it one way or the other because it's the Rumble. It's always a ton of fun. I mean, even the more boring editions, which some say the last couple have been, are still entertaining. You never know what's going to happen. Last year's was a train wreck, of course, with all the Daniel Bryan stuff. And we sat here, Kevin, one of our first shows, talking about whether he was going to win and he would be into the Rumble. And, of course, they ended up not putting him in. This year he is in, and he's wrestling this week on SmackDown, his comeback match, which is great to see because we haven't really gotten to talk about this. We sat here throughout the year saying, I'm afraid he's done, he may never be back. And yet here he is, Kev. And do you think with everything going on with this company right now, right? Subscriptions are low, ratings are in the tank. Everything else going on, interest is waning for many fans. Are they just super stupid if they don't give Daniel Bryan the Rumble win?
Well, I think we sat here last year, and I think we speculated on the same thing.
But the only difference is last year they were not in these dire straits. Like they were. They had announced a network. Everyone was excited for it. WrestleMania 30. There was more kind of vigor in the air than there is now. Like right now, it seems really in rough shape.
I think there's never a good, there's never a wrong time to do the right thing. And now is a perfect time for them to fix and move in a different direction. But I wrote a piece for WrestleZone yesterday, and I speculated on, you know, is all bad with WWE, because if you look and just like their house show loop the week after Christmas, houses were great.
Yep.
They're always great, but they continue to be great. So what does that say? Well, that may mean that some prognosticators like you and I, maybe we sit back and things aren't the way we want them to be, but maybe their target audience, the kids, thinks everything is just fine.
So are the houses good? Because I've seen conflicting statements on that.
Well, I know that the week of Christmas was good,
mm-hmm.
which is historically good. I think if you look, you know, the Garden was sold out. Garden was sold out for the first time in a long time. That resonates a lot with Vince. That's always been the measuring stick by which house show business is graded. So is everything bad? I don't know if they see the problems that
well,
are real.
They do.
And I don't know if they, again,
I think they do, because I know you're saying about the houses and MSG, but now they have a different barometer, and it's the network subscriptions. And this is their new cash cow. This is their lifeblood now, this network. And it's continuously been, you know, drilling down, going further and further down. We haven't gotten the fourth quarter numbers yet, but I have to imagine that they're not happy with those subscription numbers. And they still continue to do things in kind of a weird, haphazard way with the network as far as rolling out material and everything. But I think regardless of that, if the product was hot, they'd be doing better with the network. So I think if I'm them, I say, all right, we want to increase subscriptions heading into WrestleMania. We want as many people as possible to watch these couple shows. What better way than giving them the one guy they love more than anyone else, Daniel Bryan, the Rumble win and the title win at WrestleMania, and see if he can stay healthy. And then you build to your Roman Reigns later in the year. Like, why? What is the rush with him? And let me ask you this, because you've been inside that machine, and I've been wondering this for weeks now. What is their obsession with there having to be wrestlers' big moments and first title wins at WrestleMania? When they own everything, the shows are all theirs. Like, what is the difference if Roman Reigns gets his big win at SummerSlam and then still gets a big win at Mania next year? Like, why does he have to be rushed to right now at WrestleMania 31?
It's an interesting...
When did this start, this obsession that this huge moment has to be there?
I don't know. I don't know when it started, because I'm telling you, it wasn't that way when I was there. But I will say this. When I was there, and soon after, by the time 97, 98 rolled around, we were in Vince Russo world, where nothing meant anything. And WrestleMania moments were greatly reduced.
Right.
There was still influence on the title. That really wasn't where Vince Russo stuck his nose in. That was mainly a Vince McMahon call. But I think over time, they've gotten more and more protective of that. I mean, just look, Punk had the belt for 434 days. You know, Punk in the Russo era wouldn't have had it for 434 seconds. It's a different time now. So, yes, they are stretching it out, and they are making things mean more, and all the focus and all the energy really is on WrestleMania, because that is the ultimate cash cow.
Is anyone going to think less of Roman Reigns? Is he less likely to be a major star if his big title win is not at WrestleMania this year?
Again, that's a very good question. I'm not quite sure. So, they're doing many things, in my opinion. They're stepping over dollars to pick up dimes, and I don't like a lot of the things that they're doing. And if you have somebody like Roman Reigns, and then you're having him, and you're having Vince McMahon, of all people, write his promos, as is the word, and he comes across sounding like an idiot when he's not blessed with the gift of gab to begin with. I'm sorry, he's a good voice, but he's not a compelling promo guy. And you're giving him just scripted crap.
I mean, I'm starting to think this is a work. I'm starting to think they want him to turn heel, and they're having him act stupid on purpose at this point. I mean, is it possible?
It's the exact wrong way to do it.
Of course it is. It's 100% wrong.
But nothing is above. And again, I know that, and I'm trying to really look at their glass half full, because right now, to me, it's very easy to take just a hot dump on everything that they're doing. But I am trying to see some good in what they are presenting.
Let me posit this theory for you.
Yes.
So Daniel Bryan wins the Rumble, cashes in on his title shot from the Rumble, beats Brock Lesnar at WrestleMania, becomes your new world champion. The next night, Seth Rollins defeats him. Defeats Daniel Bryan, cashes in,
yes,
wins the world title. Everyone's pissed off. Roman Reigns comes out, beats the shit out of Daniel Bryan. Well, let's say this. He turns on Daniel Bryan, costs him the title. That's how Rollins cashes in. And then he looks at Rollins, beats the shit out of him, and it turns out that he's with the Authority now, and Rollins turns face. So now you run with Rollins. You got Cena, Bryan as your top faces, and Reigns is now your main heel. You get Triple H to talk for him for a while, and then maybe you turn him heading into Mania next year.
Well, I could see, I understand the thought process, because I understand where you get to with the finish. Where do we wind up at the end of Tuesday of that WrestleMania week? And where you wind up is a good place. I just think that the pieces are in your scenario a little bit too much.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big hotshot thing that we've just blown through.
I'm just trying to think of a way to get Reigns to be heel, but I think to do that you have to offset it with Rollins being face. Like, I'm trying to think of a way.
Why not just have two top faces?
Well, because I think Reigns could be a better heel right now. Like, I think this face run has to be aborted because it's going so poorly. I mean, I know the fans are really into him, and the cheering's there. I don't want to say it's going poorly. They're handling it kind of poorly. So, I mean, I think he still has potential, but I think if he wins the Rumble and wins the title of Mania, I think it's going to be a major backlash. Whether it's fair or not, to Reigns, who I think has potential, is very good. I just think they're completely misusing him, and he may need that kind of Batista heel run from last year to reestablish himself as a badass, you know, or that Diesel 96-ish Heasel run. Yeah, Heasel. Coined something new there. Heasel run. I just feel like, again, it's going to be a repeat of last year if Bryan's not that guy.
And I hate the throwaway of what you've just done with Seth Rollins there.
Mm.
You don't think he could be a face?
I think he's getting himself over pretty well.
I do, but there's a lot of things that work for that scenario, and there are some things that work against it. I think if you put that out there as a premise, as a scenario, and you said, what if, and then you figured out the right ways to do it, I think, like I said, the end result is not terrible. I think where we have to figure out is, how do we put our best assets going forward, and who are we building the brand around? What direction are we going in? When you reintroduce the Authority and you take three steps back, I think it says, we're not ready to move on to the future yet. We're not ready to turn everything over to the youth. We still have to have the same old, same old. It's like that comfortable blanket. They have to have it. I don't understand it. That's the frustration for me. Let's talk for a few minutes, and we've got another episode before the Royal Rumble.
No, we don't. This is it.
What do you mean, this is it?
This is it. The Rumble's a weekend. Yeah.
All right. So then,
what's your prediction?
Who wins the Rumble?
I'm gonna get burnt again, but I'm gonna say they're too dumb this time, and I don't think they would have brought Daniel Bryan back for the Rumble if he wasn't gonna win it.
Choice is Daniel Bryan, Roman Reigns, or Field.
Yeah, and Field would be, I don't know, Orton. Maybe surprise return.
Surprise return is never won.
Edge won as a surprise. So did Cena.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Cena was a surprise.
Yeah, Edge was too with the year he won.
Edge was a surprise?
Yeah, he had been out hurt. He was a real surprise. Like, no one, him and Cena, no one thought they were coming.
Oh, yeah, that's right. I forgot about that one.
There's another guy I'm trying to think of now. I'm drawing a blank of who I thought could maybe be an outside shot. I don't know. I can't think. They don't list the freaking guys anymore.
That was the other thing that they used to do. We used to get excited about the Field.
Well, they announced Dean Ambrose, Benoist Barrett, and Bray Wyatt, the new entrants announced, it says.
How about Rusev?
No. I don't think he's going to shot to win. I think he's going to fight Cena.
How about Lana?
She could win my Rumble. Reigns, Bryan, Rusev, Bad News, Bray, and Ambrose are the ones announced so far. So maybe they are going to announce them.
Ambrose, no?
No way. No. That's like Coco Beware in 1993. He has no chance of winning.
But Vince, if Coco Beware wins, everyone will be shocked. Golden's, according to Dan McGinn, King of Notes, gold and Stardust.
Okay, not just gold.
Both. No, not just gold.
Not just star.
No, both.
Okay.
Per the main event.
They're like freaking My Little Ponies or something nowadays.
They are.
Here comes so gold. Here comes star.
I'm going to go with Reigns.
Okay.
Okay.
So you think they repeat the mistake of last year with Batista?
Sure.
In front of a more hostile crowd.
Sure.
Okay. That means Bryan has to get tossed out early, right? You can't have him anywhere near that back half if you're going to have Reigns not get booed out of the friggin' building. He's going to come in one and like go out 15, and it's going to be someone that's going to kick off a new feud with him, like some straight-up heel.
That's kind of what I saw. I saw them my first gut said they're going to reintroduce him just to spin him off into somebody else. I think they're going to get him out of the world title picture altogether, because I don't think they think he could handle it physically.
I think they're going to give him one more shot. Only because if they weren't hurting so much, I'd say no. But the majority of the fans that they want to get the network, the type of fan, are all huge Daniel Bryan supporters. And you don't have CM Punk to lean back on.
Don't Brock, those people already subscribe to the network?
No. No. I think a lot of them aren't anymore.
Hmm.
Trust me. I've seen more than one person say they're either dumping it or not. I mean, the numbers show it. Bear it out, too. I think if you go back to Bryan and let him have the run if he stays healthy through, like, SummerSlam or whatever, and you have compelling matches with him, give him a match with Rollins on pay-per-view. Let him go a half hour.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
You know, if you start doing stuff like that, I think you'd be in better shape. But so I'm going to go with that. And who do you think walks out as world champion? Brock, Cena, or Rollins?
I don't think Rollins.
I think there's two ways I could go. One is Cena could win the title and be the guy who puts over Bryan. And then you still have Reigns, Brock, which seems like a match they want to do. And you have Reigns beat Brock, just have it be non-title. The other option, which I think is superior, is Bryan, Brock. Reigns, I don't know what you do with him, but I think Cena, Rusev is in the cards, maybe.
Yeah.
And then maybe you do Reigns, Orton again, rematch from SummerSlam. You could do that. I don't know. Something with I don't know what else you do with him. I'd have to think about it.
I think Cena wins. I think there's too much chatter about Brock going back to UFC.
You don't think they want that chatter heading into Mania?
No, I think Vince's ego is such that he doesn't want that chatter. That's just my personal opinion.
So if Cena wins, does that make it more likely in your eyes that Reigns or Bryan wins? You think they'd really do Reigns-Cena? Unless they're going to turn Cena heel.
They're never going to turn Cena heel.
Okay.
They're going to turn Reigns at some point, or they will turn, or the crowd will just be, will just be face-face at Mania.
And they could also do the three-way Shield match that's kind of been rumored for a while. You do Rollins, Reigns, Ambrose, or even just Rollins, Reigns you could do at Mania.
Got to be something in play.
Yeah. Well, you could put, what if they force Rollins, maybe Rollins pisses off Triple H and he makes him put the briefcase on the line in a ladder match.
Now you're talking.
Shield. There you go.
I'd watch that.
All right, so Cena, you have Cena, Rusev, Brock, Bryan.
I got a feeling they'll do... I think
Shield three way.
They need Raw in between, so I think they fill. I think they fill some kind. I could see them building towards that on a Raw, on the road to Mania.
You could do then Sting Triple H is the big rumor there.
That's what I think.
Yeah,
I said I think we talked about that here when he debuted at Survivor Series.
Yep,
that was it right there. Why shoot the angle with him if they're not going to go Sting, Hunter at Mania? You've already shot the B roll. You've already got the package built. Why waste your time? Another thing that bothered me, I thought, was Hogan kind of co-opting the Savage announcement.
Who else is going to induct him?
I don't care, but I didn't need Randy Savage going in the Hall of Fame and inducted by Hulk Hogan.
Mm. Who else is he more associated with, though, besides Elizabeth?
I don't care. I don't care who inducts him.
Yeah, but still.
All I care about is that he's getting in. I just felt like it... Mm. To me, it was apropos that a guy Savage lived in Hogan's shadow and now in death, he's finally getting into the Hall of Fame, again, he's in Hogan's shadow.
I mean, I've seen like DDP bandied about and stuff, but I mean, Hogan Savage, they were synonymous for years and years and years, decades even, in both promotions across the world.
I know.
It's just fitting. I mean, I know it feels like he's stealing the shadow again, but I don't know.
The package was great. It was awesome. It really was fantastic. But I just, again, and that's one of those things that you can argue about and to get into college football, like should Ohio State have just taken a knee on the goal line?
Right.
Or did they need that last touchdown? Well, Oregon should have stopped them. Yeah, but should they have just taken a knee? You can make an argument either way. And I think you can make an argument either way with the Hogan thing, but that's just visceral gut reaction, just boom, right there. I was like, why are they doing that?
I mean, I agree with you. The initial reaction is definitely that, like, oh, come on. And then, but the more I thought about it, it seems fitting. I mean, it just seems silly. You have Hogan on the payroll and he's not going to, I mean, unless you have Flair do it, him and Savage were obviously synonymous as well, but
sure.
I just think the mega powers, Hogan, Savage, and then
Hogan is the right guy. I just think that get a second announcement out of it. For last night.
Okay, I'll give you that.
It's just simply Savage. That's it. And then 4 weeks from now, the 2 weeks before Mania, you make the big announcement.
Yep. Okay.
Inducting Savage is going to be Hulk Hogan. Now it just made that great moment even more impactful. That's it.
I mean, it'd be worse if he was accepting for him. Yeah, then it would be a real stab in the back.
Jesus, I know.
Jealous eyes.
Three sets. That promo was awesome. Of course, the big weekend in Philly will not be complete without the entire crew being on hand at the former ECW Arena for Ring of Honor's return to the City of Brotherly Love for a national television taping, and you'll be there.
I'll be in the condominium on the moon.
That's going to be great. I'm really looking forward to that. Big six-person tag match has been signed, which I'm sure is going to tickle your fancy, JR, with the Kingdom's Michael Bennett, Matt Taven, teaming with Maria Kanellis against the Briscoes and ODB.
Ah, that's dance.
What do you think about that?
So our girls are clashing.
Really?
Oh yeah, it's a big ODB fan.
Well, it's a so there's something for each of you to enjoy here in this.
Oh yeah, good thing we're not rooming together after, you know.
Let me recreate these moves I just seen in the ring. So that's going to be an exciting night. Plus,
is Alberto there? He's not there at that show, right?
I don't know. I can't remember. I know the Young Bucks and AJ Styles are in a six-man.
Yeah, they have Bullet Club in the house.
So right? Bullet Club is going to be in the house.
Got my shirt. Scott put the order in for me and him. We'll be rocking our Bullet Club shirts.
That's so awesome. Are they matching shirts or are they different?
I think they're the same. He's not that creative, but he is generous, so that was very nice of him.
What do we got here? Let's see. So I'm just bringing up ROHWrestling.com, and I know that Michael
Winter
Logan and
Warriors
Moose,
Jimmy,
Jimmy Jacobs, Tommaso Ciampa was announced today. Mm-hmm. A live fish tank segment featuring Red Dragon.
I read that quick, and I thought there was like a ROH-sponsored fish tank in the arena.
You got That's great. Six-man tag, Bullet Club, AJ Styles, Young Bucks versus ACH, Matt Sydal, and Cedric Alexander.
That'd be fun.
As I mentioned,
Matt Sydal is Evan Bourne, for those who don't know.
That's right. And a six-person intergender tag team match, as we said, with the Briscoes and ODP versus Matt Taven, Michael Bennett, and Maria Kanellis. Jay Lethal is going to be there. The Addiction will be there. Christopher Daniels, Frankie Kazarian, Roderick Strong, Hanson, BJ Whitmer, Adam Page, Caprice Coleman, plus more. That is Saturday, January 24th at the 2300 Arena, formerly known as ECW Arena.
First time. Ring of Honor. I can't wait.
Yeah, it's going to be very exciting. And doing TV there for the first time since the days of HDNet. So it's going to be very exciting when we're back there this Saturday. Hey, you know, We've got to do some business, though, right now. This is the time where you will introduce the world to plugs, where we talk about some of the things that are going on, especially on the PTBN website.
Well, let's talk about the cream of the crop, Kevin Kelly, placetobenation.com. PTBN's NBA team podcast, rolling along, looking at who's the real MVP of the league so far. And if you're an NBA fan, that's a must listen. Also, of course, all our other podcasts are up. We had a bunch of interviews last week, Kev, came across the charts there. So as you know, you and I were graced by Jim Ross right here on the Kevin Kelly Show. Scott and I talked to Jeff Jarrett, very gracious of his time, what about 45 to 50 minutes, talked Global Force, but also let us talk a little bit about his back-in-the-day career. And I even got him to pop a little bit for mentioning his old running buddy, R.P. Lee from 1993, not to be confused with Tennessee Lee. We had dual Ken Shamrock interviews as well. Scott and I talked to him about his WWF career as well as some other news. And then the cowboy Roger Morissette talked about some MMA stuff. He talked about his bare knuckle fight that's coming up. That was breaking news the day he talked to him. And then they also talked about CM Punk's foray into MMA as well. So check out those two interviews with Ken Shamrock. What else we got going on here, Kev? The 90s tournament wrapped up round two. Round three will start this weekend. We're down to 128 songs out of 640, so now we go straight tournament style, no longer the pool format. So be sure to visit in over the weekend. Check that out. We have a couple new columns I just want to mention real quick. Wrestling's Four Corners, that'll be a weekly column from Aaron George. Kind of looks at what didn't work, what did work, what upset him, what made him giggle. All in a convenient top four format for each category from the world of wrestling. He watches Raw, NXT, SmackDown, and Impact. And we'll have to push him to watch ROH. I don't know if he gets it where he is, but work that into the mix as well. And our new centerpiece here at PlayStation.com, This Week in 90s Wrestling by Charles Williams for Pro Wrestling Only. He goes through week by week. He's going to do this for the entire year. Look at what happened each day. The big news, the hot matches, the great promos from the 90s each and every week right here. So it goes year by year. day by day. He includes videos of matches and promos and moments and things you might have forgotten, things you might have remembered. It is a must-read each and every week for you. It's going to be posted every Sunday, and it is an excellent column by Charles, a wrestling historian that knows this stuff. And we'll be releasing a book soon as well, so this is going to play into that. So PlaceNation.com, come get your PTBN on with us. Pop culture world, the only place to be.
All right, so now, you know, everybody knows this that's listened to the Kevin Kelly Show.
Yeah.
My favorite segment, not our interview, not our game, it's our next segment, and it's all about that trending base. Stories. Oh. No. It's not about that base. It's all about trending stories. It's a cavalcade of stars here as we look at the world of news, sports, talk, and information right here. Trending stories. Here we go.
And now the news the whole world is talking about. It's time for trending stories right here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
This song, Kevin Kelly, one of the McDonald's ad campaigns, was just about as stupid as the new ad campaign they have going out there right now, showing heartfelt messages on outdoor signs, quickly led to some strong reactions, with some suggesting the restaurant giant did a great job, others saying the commercial shows the Golden Arch is trying to profit from tragedies. Commercial aired during Sunday night's NFL playoffs and Golden Globes, giving it a large audience. Among the signs they showed on McDonald's restaurants were Remember 9/11, Boston Strong, Carry On, and all different stuff. I can see where maybe the heart was behind this thing, but it came across as like super self-aggrandizing and heavy-handed. I don't know. Have you seen this ad?
I haven't seen that one, but I have noticed that they have had a lot of images lately as they're emphasizing loving, like SpongeBob and things like that. And my wife and I both commented, really starting to ratchet up the marketing to the kids, this is a little different. I don't know. Is it self-aggrandizing? Is it heavy-handed? Or are they reflective? I mean, McDonald's is part of pop culture in America.
Yeah, but they're basically just saying, here are all the things that we were part of. Remember 9/11, Ebola. I don't know.
Ebola? Yeah, that golly.
I don't know. Like, it's like everyone else, they make fun of WWE with all these, we are, number one and this and that and number one trending. I don't know. It feels very, I don't know. It's fast food,
Were they, did they go after the people who threw the, garbage cans through the windows in Ferguson, Missouri? I remember that the first night of the riots when, oh no, they're going after the McDonald's. Oh wait, they're going after the liquor store now. It's all good.
Do you remember any other commercials like that have kind of tweaked your nipples?
Commercials tweaking nipples. Let me think. Just some that have really stuck. I think more towards commercials that when it's a good campaign, I'm very much in favor of it because I am an advertising guy. I worked in advertising for a long time. When something is good and I pop for it, I know it's good.
So would you have greenlit this thing? Well, you need to go watch it and see what
I got
to
watch.
I mean, it's literally just McDonald's signs from all different McDonald's, like things they had up on their billboards. And I mean, that's been reported that one was not even in existence anymore. It was like some old picture. I don't know. It's just very.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I know they're big into the community stuff sometimes, but it just felt very, here's how we help America heal.
I know I'm still a, morbidly obese, male, and I try to eat as little McDonald's as possible nowadays just because it's gotten such a bad rap and the food is so horrible. Like, what happened to my McDonald's that I used to be able to eat all the time? Oh, yeah.
I haven't had it in years, and this will keep me away because it's as gross as the food.
Well, again, I gotta look at it. I gotta look at it.
Take a look.
That's just the first trending story. There's usually more, sometimes three, even four maybe, but now it's time for trending story number two here on the Kevin Kelly Show.
Eat it.
Weird Al.
Yeah.
Talking about all the different things you can eat. Well, Kev, Sunday night, you may have been watching the Golden Globes, but those watching HBO got to see Allison Williams get down, and her boyfriend was eating. Have you seen this story, Kev?
No, I haven't.
Right, well, the show Girls, Lena Dunham. Let's make it another McGinn girl right there, Lena Dunham.
She is a fat, ugly, disgusting pig.
Right. Well, you know the reputation of this show, right? A little edgy. Shows a lot of explicit sexual scenes.
Sure.
All right. Well, Allison Williams, the daughter of Brian Williams, the actress, in this episode of Girls, was leaning over her kitchen sink with her pants down while her boyfriend was dining from the back.
Wait a minute. This was Peter Pan?
Peter Pan.
Oh,
getting her
no.
peanut butter jar dipped from the backside. So,
Brian Williams was putting this one over like he was.
Well, here we go. You ready?
Yeah.
This is a quote from Brian Williams.
Oh, no.
She's always been an actress. For her, watching her is the family occupation, and everybody has to remember it's just acting. No animals were harmed during this filming, and ideally, nobody was hurt. Allison said, I had a couple of days talking to wardrobe and makeup to get ready to rig the thing I wore for the ass motorboating. It was an engineering achievement. I would manufacture it for more than one person a year if needed. It was so elaborate. It was involved Spanx that we cut away and glued down. It involved menstrual pads and two of those weird thongs. I've had to do scenes like this twice now. Peter Pan.
Getting her lunch salad.
Yeah.
Getting the salad tossed.
Interesting stuff on HBO Sunday night. That's
what's
sure.
the so? What's the question?
There's always a question.
So, Kevin,
what's your favorite kitchen sexual experience?
Kevin? Damn
it! I was ready to move on.
I was hoping you were going to say, "What would you say if you were Brian Williams?" And that was
see,
your
I don't
want to
go there. Yeah, I'm not going there because I have a daughter. Right. So we're leaving that one alone. What if that was what? Let's do this. What's your favorite dressing for tossed salad?
Oh no! I tell you what, it is a sometimes the idea of doing, you know, you just think about it and it's like, oh yeah, that sounds pretty interesting. But then you start and it's like, okay, how do I get out of this situation now? Because I'm in the kitchen. I got to get out of this room. I got to get out of this light.
I'm not sure where we're going with this. So why don't we move on to trending story number three?
Okay, let's get on trending story number three as Dan McGinn walks with his pants around his ankles, leaving the kitchen. Here we go.
It's been a great week for people who enjoy messing with Kiss Cam at sporting events, especially after the Chicago Bulls mascot, Benny the Bull, swooped in and rescued a woman who looked like she was fighting with a boyfriend because he wouldn't kiss her. Now, a British student at the January 8th Knicks-Rockets game has video proof of another hilarious Kiss Cam moment. The woman tries to get the guy next to her to give her a kiss. When he doesn't budge, she grabs another guy sitting next to her, who the video claims is a stranger, and shares a passionate kiss with him. So, Kev, what do you think of the Kiss Cam? Have you ever been on it?
I've never been on the Kiss Cam. I'm kind of a big fan of it, though. It is a high spot, and you generally do enjoy that scene. You do love it when couples are fighting, or if there is some unfortunate, you know, accident, if there's a shun, if there's a push away. Did you see the scene from the Ohio State-Alabama game where the girl kind of realized she was on camera?
Yes.
And yep. did sort of the backhanded, like, the okey-doke. I'm not with this dude type of thing.
Yep,
but,
yep.
you know, that type of deal, that's what you want. You want that unfortunate, awkward, terrible, life-changing moment for everyone to enjoy. That's the best part of the Kiss Cam.
What would you do if Allison Williams in that scene ended up on the Kiss Cam?
Ooh, man. You know, she going to be able to sit down? McGinn sent me the link to this Gawker article.
Did you look at it? Did you watch the GIF there?
Yeah, you got to watch it. So I don't. She can say that there was Spanx and padding and distractionary tactics and props and everything. It looked like straight on. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I studied it closely today to be prepared for this topic.
Oh, that wasn't McGinn. I'm sorry. That was you, JR.
I studied this very intently, and I don't see the fake stuff. I mean, I don't understand. Yeah, I don't know where it is.
Right. I think that's
who cares. Have at it, you know.
Right. Enjoy acting. Yourselves. It's acting. But it's acting. I mean, for real, brother's face was dead on.
I want to see Roman Reigns pull that off.
Suffering succotash. Oh my gosh.
One more, yeah, you ready? One more?
Oh, is there more?
Yeah, one more.
I love this. All right, let's do another trending story. Here we go. Ah, yes. Kerry Silken, our guest earlier on, was all about Pink Floyd. Still is.
Well, you know who's about money?
Who?
Ashley Furniture. Because you want to get
Furniture.
Get comfortable in that recliner, Ohio State fans. It's free. A furniture chain promised to write off purchases of $1,999 or more made between December 17th and 30th if the Buckeyes beat Alabama in the college football playoff and then won the national championship by at least 7 points. It was a long shot, but Ohio State pulled it off. The promotion was offered to select Ashley Furniture home stores and better sleep shops located in Columbus, Cincinnati, Dayton, and Florence, Kentucky. More than 500 customers made purchases totaling $1.5 million. Parent company Morris Home Furnishings Vice President of Marketing Rob Klaben told the Dispatch. Dear Morris Home Furnishings, thank you. And please don't fire the person that came up with this promo, tweeted Brian Bergermeyer. We did work with a third-party company who overwrote the entire promotion, and we're excited to see a win. So what do you think of these kind of promotions, Kev? You think they're good for the community?
I love it. I think
McDonald's
should
advertise them on the big board.
Well, I think we should do something here because they're insured.
True.
So, I mean, whatever the value of the insurance was, it probably cost them pennies on the dollar. We used to do insured contests all the time when I worked in radio, and it would be the chance of winning a $100,000 grand prize and would cost $750. So it's really it's super economical. You can't pay for the advertising that you got from it. They still sold, you know, a lot of furniture. They moved a lot of furniture in that span of time. So
have you ever
good
done
for
that?
Them.
Have you ever taken part in the other end, like buying something during one of those promotions?
Yeah, I've never won. It's never paid off. But I can't think of a specific example. But yeah, sure. It's like, oh, what the hell? You know, we're here. Let's give it a shot. What's the worst that could happen?
Yeah, I know
we're
there was
buying
one
this
here.
Stuff anyway.
There was one here from a furniture store that was like a certain amount of snow before Christmas. That was like a big one between Thanksgiving and Christmas. It's always stuff like
did
that.
Did you ever? Oh, Red by Sox. The way, I meant to ask you, and this may not be part of trending, but did you feel the earthquakes the other day?
Yes, I did actually. So that was in Plainfield, Connecticut. And it was Monday morning because I slept on the recliner the last couple nights because obviously a sinus infection. I've been sleeping well. And around 6 a.m., I felt like a rumble. I heard a noise. And I just figured it was like a truck going by. I didn't pay much attention to it. And then when I saw people start putting it up on Facebook and that it was in the area that I'm in, which is not very far from Plainfield, Connecticut, I put two and two together and said, yes, I did. I felt the earthquake.
Wow.
And a typhoon.
And a typhoon. The natural disasters are here. I thought about you when I saw the location of the, you know, kind of the epicenter of the thing. And I was like, man, that's right by where JR lives. I wonder if he felt that. That's awesome. We felt one here a few years ago in central PA.
Yeah.
Middle of the afternoon office building. It felt like a low flying, you know, jet was right over the building and mm-hmm. windows shook, walls rattled. 3, 4, 5 seconds, and then it was done. And it was like, that was an earthquake. You kind of know it. But you were still in slumber. Being sick and having to sleep on the recliner is miserable.
Yeah, it's. I did it for a couple nights. The first night, it was like halfway through, and you know, I feel bad. My wife, you know, she's well 7.5 months pregnant now at this point, and she's barely sleeping. So to have me hacking up a fucking lung next to her, and then. I'm not sleeping great, so the last couple nights, last night I was back in bed. I finally got on some antibiotics, but yeah, I spent a couple nights with Dirty Network glowing in the background as I crashed in the recliner.
I watched Starcade 85 last night. And by the way, I'm going to have to take I need extension, Professor. I didn't get around to watching the Vince interview.
You some bitch.
I know. I've been busy. But I have been watching a lot of the network. I'm just watching a lot of old NWA, and I love it. Every second of it is awesome. I can't believe it. All right, so we've done three. Do we have a
that
bonus?
Was four. No, that was four.
That was four?
Yeah.
See, they go so fast. I love it. All right, so were you outside? Now, what would have happened if you know, this earthquake thing would have happened and all the telephone poles would have come down. You wouldn't have been able to watch TV, right?
Correct. But if you had, you know, alternate methods, such as the ones explained to you on getridofcable.net, you would have been okay because it would have told you how you can live without cable, how you can slash those wires, cut the cord, and live exclusively based on internet-based watching, Netflix and Hulu and Dirty Network and everything else that's out there nowadays, picking up more original programming, prestige programming, Woody Allen's doing a show for Netflix now, all kinds of madness. So check out that website there for all your great cord-cutting needs. Also, check out Bonehead's Wing Bar, Washington Street in West Warwick, Rhode Island. I was there last weekend. They had some new wing sauces that were off the menu, exclusives. Me and my buddy Andrew hooked up with the bacon bit sauce. It was excellent. Probably be back there this weekend, back there every weekend. It's my life. Bonehead's Wing Bar. Go eat there.
Are you flying or driving to Philly?
Driving, baby.
All right. Here's what you do. Need you to go to Bonehead's Friday night.
Okay. I'll bring
grab some wings and bring some down.
All right. Look at the menu.
Oh, I don't care.
Tell me the sauces.
I don't care.
Well, you tell me you prefer.
There's
so many sauces. I want you to pick them.
I mean, I don't like nuclear hot.
Nope.
But like,
you're going to give me a range of what you like. You just go look at the sauces. You have to understand.
I will.
There.
Okay. I will. But like the ones that I always kind of lean towards is more like a buffalo based, like Old Bay type of things like that. You know,
you
not
like,
heavy.
Because we usually get boneless. Are you in for boneless?
No, I'm more of a traditionalist.
You prefer
guy.
The bone in?
Yeah.
All right.
Now, for all these plugs that we've been giving them, there better be some frees.
Well, I think you should tweet at them. And right, explain the story. Tweet at Bonehead Wing Bar. Say that Place to Be Nation is coming to visit you, and you want you hooked up with a free sample.
There you go. I must have this.
Oh, I spent enough there. I think they can do this for us.
And thanks to our pal there at GetRidOfCable.net.
Yeah.
For their support as well, because we appreciate what they do, what they're doing, and we're eventually all going to cut the cord. So GetRidOfCable.net can help you do that today.
Let's cut the cord
save money.
That'd be nice.
Save money and increase your entertainment dollar exponentially. When you start to talk about, you know, bundling and the way the cable companies are really putting it to you, it's scary. When you do the math, Steve Carino is a big cord cutter, by the way.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look, when you
yeah,
started
we know.
Doing
we
the
have
math,
to hear Dan cry about it.
Oh, poor Dan. That's it's a lot of dough. So anyway, getridofcable.net, absolutely. All right. Are we taking a break or are we going to continue on?
Let's take a quick break.
All right, we take one more final timeout. We'll come back. We'll play a game, and we'll wrap up this edition of the Kevin Kelly Show right here on Place to Be Nation, placetobenation.com.
In Rhode Island and looking for great food and a fun atmosphere, we'll be sure to stop by Bonehead's Wing Bar, 131 Washington Street in West Warwick, with over 65 different wing sauces and dozens of sandwiches, burgers, and appetizers. And a fully stocked bar, Bonehead's has something for everyone. Bonehead's also shows every WWE and UFC pay-per-view, features live music, weekly trivia, and much, much more. So, be sure to stop in, tell Matt and the crew that Place to Be Nation sent you, and become a Bonehead today.
What's up, wrestling fans? This is Jeff Peck, and you can check out my wrestling podcast, The Still Real to Us Show, every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com. It is a wrestling podcast from a fan's perspective, and we're not doing it in our mom's basement. So check it out every Saturday right here at placetobenation.com.
It's still real to me, damn it!
All right, we're back here on the Kevin Kelly Show. Kerry Silken, an awesome guest earlier on, and we're lining up a special guest, maybe two, for the next edition of the Kevin Kelly Show. But we've got a game coming up in just a few minutes, but wanted to take a couple minutes to kind of look back at football with college and pros. JR, it was a huge weekend of both the NFL and then, of course, on Monday night with the college football championship.
Were you surprised Ohio State won? Do you consider the playoff a success?
Thought the playoff was a huge success. Completely surprised that Ohio State won. Disappointed, of course, Florida State didn't win. But I figured Oregon was maybe a touchdown better. And if things had gone a little different way, maybe they could have won. But as it was, no, it was Ohio State's night. And they were much better than I thought they were.
Is Urban Meyer past Nick Saban for you? Greatest football coach right now? College football?
I
mean, hell of an in-game planner. Jeez.
He is. He did great. He's building a dynasty in Columbus the same way that Nick has that dynasty rolling in Tuscaloosa. The Florida program is on its ass since Urban left. Yeah, I mean, one and two, they're neck and neck, absolutely at the top, no doubt about it.
Is Mariota going to drop in the draft because of his performance in the national championship game?
No, I don't think so at all. I think people that were going to take Mariota are still going to want to take him because I think he's going to grade out well. He's going to interview well. He played fine. He just didn't have the number of weapons. And when you get behind, you got to push the ball downfield a little bit.
Is he going to be good or is he going to be a bust?
To me, it's 50-50. I think he has some tools. I think he has that. He kind of has that Russell Wilson quality about him. But again, Wilson was a third round pick, and Mariota probably is going to either be the number 1, 2, 6 pick in the draft. I think first round is too high for him, but I think he can have a successful career if he's on the right team and in the right system.
So does Jameis go before him?
I think so. I think Jameis Winston's going to go number 1 to Tampa Bay.
Interesting. So you think the Jets will have a shot at Mariota at 6?
I think so. I do, and that's why I say 1, 2, or 6, because I think if it gets past, if Tennessee doesn't go, if they're like, okay, well, we know Zach Mettenberger is not the answer. We know Jake Locker is not the answer, but we think that Mariota is, and we're going to have the right offensive system around him, which is a lot of ifs. If any of those don't happen, then he goes 6 to the Jets. He has to.
Could also go 5th to Washington if they're done with RG3.
That's another first round pick to invest in a quarterback that is not a sure thing. That's the same type of system guy, you know, that spread quarterback like RG3. I think they're going to be scared off from that.
Does Chip Kelly make a phone call?
If he'd, I think I think part of the reason why now Philly might be in the mix in that 3, 4, or 5 range. He just took over as now he's going to be whatever it is. What is his title? Head coach, director of player personnel?
King Hippo.
King. I think the Eagles could be in play here if they find the right trading partner. I don't think they'll be shy about moving up to get Mariota.
All right, let's talk about the games this weekend. Indy upsets Denver, comes out Peyton Manning playing with a torn quad.
Bullshit.
John, yeah, you think it's BS?
Yeah, complete.
He's coming back, they're saying, for another year now. John Fox gets shit-canned. Where do you think this coaching carousel ends up? So the Jets hire Mike Maccagnan to be their GM. That's official now. A lot of rumors. They were the leaders, or their main guy was looking to be Quinn. Dan Quinn from Seattle, the defensive coordinator, but now they're a little bit worried, it sounds like, because Denver may be knocking for him. The Niners still in the mix, the Falcons. The Jets had Todd Bowles in for a second interview here tonight, and rumor is they canceled an interview they have scheduled tomorrow with Sean McDermott, the Panthers defensive coordinator. So many think they're going to hire Bowles tonight. That would leave Quinn to go to either Denver or San Fran. The problem with Quinn, they can't hire him till after the Super Bowl or until Seattle loses. So I think they're a little bit worried they're going to miss out on Bowles, and then Quinn might spurn them. So it sounds like they're going to offer Bowles. So if he goes to the Jets tonight, we are left with the Falcons, the Broncos, the Niners, the Bears, and the Raiders. Kev, who do you like to in these some of these jobs? And of course, Rex Ryan went to the Bills, so that one's done.
Right. Saw John Fox rumored to go to Chicago. I think that's a good fit. If you're ranking the jobs, okay.
Mm-hmm.
With Atlanta, San Francisco, or Denver. If you had the choice of all three, who would you pick?
I know it sounds crazy. I don't like Denver because I think you get 1 year of Manning and you got nothing else and a bunch of cap trouble.
Yep.
I mean, I guess Atlanta, if you can build a D because they have a weak division, you could probably turn them around quickly.
You are correct, sir.
If Dan Quinn goes to Atlanta, maybe.
Right. That's it right there. I thought Rex Ryan was a shoo-in for the Atlanta job.
Well, he wanted it, but the problem was they were kind of, you know, dragging their feet a little bit, and I guess he got burnt by them back in 08. This happened where he waited for them, and then they went to Mike Smith, and he ended up being stuck with Baltimore. and I think he didn't want to pass up on a job. Now, I've heard a lot of nonsense about how, oh, why is he going to the Bills? It's the same thing as the Jets. No quarterback, good defense. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, what jobs ever open that have a great or good quarterback? I mean, Atlanta's a rare one, and he wanted to go there, but you know they're dragging their feet, as want to miss out on an opportunity. When do jobs open with good quarterbacks? I mean, it's not often, right? Because if the team has a good quarterback, they're probably good.
Well, if you look at Atlanta, would that have been the job to wait for? Because not only do you have Matt Ryan, but you have a very winnable division.
Right, and I think he wanted to go there. I think he was getting the feeling that they were going to go a different route.
I thought for sure with his kid at Clemson, mm-hmm. I thought that was a layup that he was going to go there.
I don't think you're wrong. I don't think he turned them down. I just think he was getting the feeling that they didn't want him.
Well, and I think Denver to me is starting to become, it's the John Elway show, and yeah. I don't know if any coach is ever going to be good enough for him.
Yeah, I wouldn't want to go there right now. With Manning, even if he does play another year, looking pretty beat up, and the Elway ego, a lot of cap, you know, they're going to keep all these guys. They got like 8 big free agents right now.
They'll probably franchise Demaryius Thomas.
Yep.
They're going to let Julius Thomas walk.
And I predict he'll suck wherever he goes.
DeMarcus Ware gone. TJ Ward probably gone. They still have good talent.
Sure.
They got Chris Harris Jr.
But you know, Kansas City's not going away. San Diego's not going away. Tough division.
Tougher, yeah, exactly.
No quarterback. I mean, you could argue that if Manning leaves there, the Jets and Bills are in better shape quarterback-wise due to the cap room and draft. Well, Bills don't have a draft pick. The Jets.
Brock Osweiler will still not be able to get on the field, even if Peyton Manning leaves.
Bubby Brister might be back there.
Bubby. Bring back Bubby, please.
Oakland, by the way, these idiots, right? So you have all these really high-ranking coordinators that are really in demand, Bowles and Quinn and even McDermott from Carolina. All these guys, great reputations, young, innovative minds, guys that are respected. And Oakland is hot for Jack Del Rio.
Yeah.
I mean, come on.
Come on. Well.
I mean, okay. But geez, at some point, right? I mean, do something smart. I'm surprised that I interview Mike Smith next, too. You know, yeah. I mean, I'm going to retread city over there.
He does kind of, it is a retread. To me, he does fit the mold.
Surprised that I interview Wade Phillips.
He does kind of fit the mold of the Raiders image.
Yeah, sure.
But,
yeah, losing.
I mean, the last the I had heard image, was losing. That before this weekend with Denver losing, the word was is that it was Tony Sperano who was going to drop the interim title and hire him on full time.
I think that'd probably be better than Del Rio. I mean, they played for him this year, you know.
Yeah, Del Rio supposedly very good coordinator. Is he a good head guy? I don't know. We'll see. He had some success. Where was he the coach before?
Del Rio, Jacksonville.
Jacksonville, that's right. I kept wanting to say Carolina, but I was like, no, he wasn't in Carolina. That was John Fox. I think he can do well there. I think John Fox is the right fit for the Bears. Jason Garrett got 5 years and a bunch of Jerry money to stay in Dallas, so good for him. I think the Giants are going to – I keep thinking Spag, either him or Pepper Johnson.
Yeah.
When I first saw that name reported, I was like, gosh, I have a feeling it's going to be Pepper Johnson. But I don't see Coughlin trusting a new – he just broke in a new offensive coordinator. Let's bring Spagnuolo back. And you know you don't have to worry about that side of the ball.
The it's going to be interesting. The Oakland thing is – again, I don't know. And the other jobs, like you said, the Niners are interesting because it sounds like they may get into a fight with, you know, Denver over Gase, the offensive coordinator.
Yeah.
Apparently Manning loves him. So we'll see if he just gets promoted there, if the Niners are supposed to make a kind of a push here tonight.
And
so,
what about the Jets, 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 Jets?
Bulls? I think it's Bulls.
Okay.
I think so. I mean, unless they really are confident that they can get Quinn. But the problem is if they let Bulls walk, I think the Falcons are going to sign him tomorrow because he's meeting there tomorrow. So now you're kind of stuck. You're really going to put the push on for Quinn, which the rumor is Quinn wants to go there. But now with Denver in the mix, you got the Niners still out there lurking. You know, you miss out on him, and now you're looking back at, you know, Marone or something like that, which I don't think they want.
Screw Doug Marone. I hate his face.
Yeah. So I don't want him. And, I mean, I guess you could go back to McDermott if you had to. But yeah. It sounds like Bowles and Quinn were pretty both high on their list, 1-1A. So I think and Bowles was a Jets coordinator before, too. So
I think, I think Jets is I think Bowles is the man for the Jets job, and we'll see what happens. Quick picks on the final four.
I guess Pats.
Give me New England, Indy. You're going Pats.
Yeah, they just own Indy. I can't see it. I mean, I just don't see how Indy's going to go in there and win that game.
How about
Baltimore's
going
to be sick to the stomach? They couldn't 2 14-point leads, and then they could have gotten Indy in the AFC title game.
Yeah, I know. How about all right? So Green Bay, Seattle.
Yeah, I think Seattle.
Do you see any hope?
Not if Rodgers is still limping around. They'll do what. You know, Dallas beat them up a little bit, but they don't have much of a pass rush where the Seahawks obviously could beat the crap out of them.
Do you think it matters whoever emerges from the AFC? Is anybody going to stop Seattle?
Yeah, sure. I think the Pats could. I think the Colts get trounced by Seattle if they win, but I think the Pats could give them a game.
Do you remember who you picked preseason?
Yeah, New Orleans. And I wanted to pick Green Bay, but I felt like everyone was picking them, so I think it was New Orleans and Denver I picked.
I went Philly, New England.
Yes. Well, you got one,
so
probably.
There is a possibility that I could get one of the Super Bowl teams right.
Mm.
But both of us were right on San Francisco.
Yes.
But we were wrong on Seattle. We said Seattle would have a letdown, and
they had a letdown early. Yeah, and then they came back.
But they've turned it on and found a way to win. All right, so more NFL talk as the weeks roll on towards the Super Bowl, but another big event coming up right around the corner, of course, is the Royal Rumble. It's just a couple of weeks away, so what better time than to play a great game that all surrounds the Royal Rumble? JR, how does it work?
Time to play the game!
Well, actually, we're going to do two games here, Kev. We're going to put the Rumble one on hold for 1 second, because this game we're going to play is called Role Play. You ever watch PTI, Pardon the Interruption?
I do. I love that show.
All right. Here are some people. You're going to be them. I'm going to give you a question to answer as them. We're going to go about 15 seconds each, okay? We'll burn through these.
Okay.
All right. Kevin Kelly, you are Vince McMahon. Who are you choosing to win the Royal Rumble?
Well, if I had my choice, Triple H, can you be in the Royal Rumble? You're the only guy I trust. Where's Shawn Michaels? Where's his... Oh, I'm left with these guys? Ah, for Christ's sake, I have no idea. Give me Roman Reigns. Why not? It doesn't make a damn bit of difference. Where's Hogan?
Oh, very good. All right. I mean, I've heard better Vince's, but...
I can't do it. You have the best Vince.
Thanks. Make me blush. All right, John Cena, sir. Will you ever turn heel?
Yo, listen, it's all about hustle, loyalty, and respect. I really wish I could, but my Fruity Pebbles and I, we're going to make sure that we stay true, because all that, you know, merchandise that you see, all the wristbands, all this swag, it's all because of yours truly and those fans. So, no, I'm not changing, because there's too much money to be made, yo.
Roger Goodell, how are you going to fix your league's image before next season?
Well, as a lawyer and someone who never did anything wrong and never saw the Ray Rice tape, never saw the tape of him punching out his wife in the elevator, I never saw it, I promise. We're going to continue to do things on the right way. And if anybody suggests that I give up any of my power as the final voice, the judge, the jury, the executioner of all things in the NFL, you are crazy mistaken, because I'm Roger Goodell.
Hey, Rex, how are you going to make the Bills relevant again?
Hang on. My wife's feet are in my way. Oh. I can't see anything but my wife's feet. That Allison Williams story before. Holy crap. What am I doing in Buffalo? Who's my agent? I really got drunk after the season was over, guys. I really got lit up, and I had no idea what I was doing. I've signed with Buffalo? Are you kidding me? This is crazy. Can I get out of this contract?
It's an awful Rex Ryan. Phil Jackson, how are you going to make the Knicks good again?
Well, we've started to make the Knicks good again by getting every rotten player in the league onto our roster. You see, by losing more games than everyone else, we're going to hopefully be able to win more games than everyone else in the future. But I made the mistake of telling everybody that the triangle has only three sides. But the only side that matters is Allison Williams' backside. Yes, and Carmelo signed for $124 million, and why did I do that?
Finally, Dixie Carter. Will you remain patient and stay calm regardless of ratings on Destination America, or will you continue to make panic moves and changes when the ratings come out?
See, honey, that would assume that I have made panic moves and changed my mind before. Everything is great in Nashville, and I have never had a second of doubt. Everything is awesome. I have the most incredible roster and all. And the ratings for Destination America are going to be 100, meaning everybody in the country is going to be watching TNA, and it is just awesome. And I'm so thankful. And screw Jeff Jarrett.
It's like designing women out here.
Thank you.
All right. Dan McGinn, you there?
I am.
All right.
Oh, Jesus.
Dan McGinn whipped your ass at Survivor Series trivia. Time for the Rumble, Kevin Kelly.
Oh, here we go.
I'm going to give you a year. I want you to name me the winner, Kevin Kelly. And if you can't, then Dan McGinn is going to embarrass you. We go to 1990 in Orlando, Florida. Who won that year's Royal Rumble?
1990. I could see the poster. The winner of the 1990 Royal Rumble was the Ultimate Warrior.
Dan McGinn.
It was Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
Damn it.
0 for 1.
He eliminated Mr. Perfect to end it.
There you go. See? Stat boy over here. All right. Royal Rumble 92. We go ahead 2 years to Knickerbocker Arena in Albany, New York, with a guy that went almost an hour to win the Royal Rumble that year, Kevin Kelly. Prize was on the line. Do you remember who won this one?
That was Ric Flair, right?
Very good.
Yay!
Look at that. It's on the board.
That was my favorite one.
We go 2 years later.
Tears!
2 years.
Tears!
Put that cigarette out. All right. 2 years later, we go to Providence, Rhode Island, my hometown. I was in attendance, Kevin Kelly, heading into WrestleMania 10. This is the installment where The Undertaker died, raised up to the ceiling in a match with the Yokozuna. Who won that year's Royal Rumble?
Was it Bret Hart?
Dan McGinn.
Well, honestly, it probably was Bret Hart, but really it was Bret Hart and Lex Luger.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
But you're right. Astute observers do believe that Bret Hart won. All right. The next 2 years were won by the same man, Kevin, going into the next two WrestleManias, earning a title shot. 1 year he went the full distance. The next year he came in the middle, won it again. Who was that man? 1995, 1996.
Shawn, right?
Very good.
Yay.
Shawn Michaels went the distance in the short rumble in 95 and then again came off the concussion thing in 96. All right, a couple more here. 1999, regarded across wrestling fans as possibly the worst Royal Rumble installment, although it had a decent story mixed in and a lot of fodder in the field. Who won this infamous Royal Rumble, Kevin Kelly, from Anaheim, California?
It was Cold Stone, Steve Boston, right?
Dan McGinn.
Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
Yes. Oh,
okay.
That's the year I won, you pasty prick. You were in the back.
I was in the back. I was going, what the hell is this show?
2003, Boston, Massachusetts saw the crowning of a young star, taking home the Royal Rumble Championship, would go on to WrestleMania 19 and win his first, or I guess second, world title there. Who was that man?
Kurt Angle?
Dan McGinn.
I'm not going to do the voice. I'm just going to go ahead and say Brock Lesnar.
Yes, Brock Lesnar went to Safeco Field and won the title from Kurt Angle.
Got it.
All right, two more here. 2006 in Miami, Florida. This guy went 62 minutes, breaking the record, dedicated the match to his fallen friend, and won the match the first time ever. The Rumble was smack dab. The Rumble match was smack dab in the middle of the card with two matches afterwards. Who won this Rumble match?
Not a clue. Edge?
Dan McGinn.
Dial up 619, Rey Mysterio.
It's the infamous one where he dedicated to Eddie Guerrero and all that stuff with Randy Orton went down that year as well. 2010. This man made a surprise return after an injury to win the Royal Rumble, went on to WrestleMania, where he failed to cash in on the world title.
John Cena?
Dan McGinn.
2010. That was Edge.
Very good, yeah. Sir.
Nice.
You said it before, JR, and I couldn't remember which one it was. We talked about this earlier on the show. Because I had said nobody ever comes back from injury. And you were like, oh, yeah, two guys did. I'm like, duh.
Edge,
and I remembered Cena, but I'd forgotten Edge. And then I forgot Edge twice. How about that?
You just said Edge a minute ago. Anyways, Dan McGinn whips your ass again. Take us home, Kev.
Well, Dan McGinn proved he's much smarter than me when it comes to trivia and whatnot. But anyway, I've been living under a rock for a few years, so here you go. But no, I want to thank Kerry Silkett for joining us. He's a great man, and if you ever come to a Ring of Honor event, and Kerry certainly put out a very strong invitation for everyone to join us, whether it's in Philly or whether it's coming up in Dearborn, Dayton, wherever it might be, make sure you come to an event. If Kerry Silkett is there, shake his hand and say hello and say thank you, especially if you're a Ring of Honor fan. If you've never had the chance to meet with him and talk with him, he's a pretty special dude. So we're very happy to have him in our lives, and we're appreciative of everything. Every day is a gift. A wise man recently said, you know, we got to look at every day as a gift. You know, we got to be thankful for, you know, to the trees for giving us oxygen and things like that. So appreciate every step along the way. Take pride in that journey that you take, and live life to its fullest. I look forward to seeing the PTBN crew in Philly, at least some of you, and the rest of you will be there as well. But no, it's going to be great to catch up with everybody, and I look forward to doing that. We'll have news and announcements about our next guest or guests coming up for the next edition of the Kevin Kelly Show, which will be in 2 weeks. The archives live on the Kevin Kelly Show page right there on placetobenation.com. For Dan McGinn, who did very little, and for JR, who did even less, I'm Kevin Kelly. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you a couple of weeks right here on the Kevin Kelly Show on the Place to Be Nation, the website home, placetobenation.com.
Wait, so that was Billy Gunn with Allison Williams? So he really is an ass man. Wake up to get ready to rig the thing I wore for the ass motorboating.
A tree fell on Greg Abbott.
You know, I'm only 50 now, and the phone could ring at any time.
Basically, because she had Tommy John and had a strong arm, she gave these awesome hand jobs that he was, like, obsessed with. Will you do my wife and I the honor of purchasing you?
Oh, wait a minute.
I don't get butt hurt.
Bye.
Fuck you.